our church. And I love to hear Candy sing. And she's so genuine. Amen. We sure love you, Candy. And Cheryl never misses. She just rings the bell every time. And you can feel the Spirit of God going through those dear ladies. And pray that He continues now as we open the Word of God. We'll dismiss the young people to go to your classes. Pretty exciting day today. Amen. If you have a Bible, turn to the book of Revelation. Revelation. It's a great Christmas text. Revelation chapter 1. And Merry Christmas to everybody. It's an exciting day as we get closer and closer to the day of the birth of our Savior. Okay, everybody's where they ought to be. Amen. We ought to play the music, and when the music stops, you've got to sit down. Okay. Revelation chapter 1. Let's read verse 1, and then we'll drop down to verse 8. Revelation chapter 1, last book in the Bible. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Verse 8. The Lord says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. And let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for these songs and how they speak to our hearts. And I pray today that you would be honored, you would be glorified. Lord, you would be loved. You're so worthy, and we do adore you. May that grow in our hearts. Just bless the word as it goes forth now. May it be received into tender hearts. For your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The book Revelation, last book in the Bible, and our text about the Alpha and the Omega, it's mentioned four times in the book of Revelation. Two times in the beginning of the book, two times at the end of the book. It's not found anywhere else in the scripture, but it's the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Past, present, future. So he covers all the bases there. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 11, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Revelation 21:6, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And just in case you didn't get it, he goes again in chapter 22 and verse 13. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He is the eternal God. That is so hard to wrap your mind around, isn't it? He's an eternal God. We have in Psalm 90 and verse 2, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. In that direction, in this direction, and there's no end to that. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul is writing to Timothy, and he said, now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. When you say forever, that's something we comprehend, but forever and forever is just like a double dose of it. We have Christmas. Turn to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. We'll start there today. And when we think of Christmas, the story in Matthew chapter 1 and 2 is there, and also Luke chapter 2. We'll look at that a little bit later. But this is a great celebration. This is what the Christian life is all about. And he came to fulfill a purpose. But we'll begin reading. Let's go to verse 18, Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. This is so miraculous. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. That's Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. It's being repeated here because the prophecy had been fulfilled. It's a blessing when you think about this. The birth of our Savior, we can understand that, but he's always been. He has always existed. And that's what we're going to look at today. It's absolutely amazing, and there's no way to comprehend this other than having faith. We know the physical birth, but the spiritual birth is something different. And we know the eternity of our God is from everlasting to everlasting. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. So we believe that through faith, because it says it in the Bible. So everything we're going to do today is going to be biblical, and because it is the truth as we look at it. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, Paul says, Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. There's no argument here. Without controversy. Of godliness, God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. From his birth to his death to his resurrection, the Bible tells us that in that one verse. In John chapter 1, we find, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. That's speaking of our Savior. That's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 14 says, And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's speaking of our Savior. It goes on and it says, And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. There is no beginning of God, but there is the beginning of the manifestation of God to us. Amen. God has always been. Well, that's easy to grasp, isn't it? You know, God has always been from everlasting to everlasting. That's just so great. In Galatians chapter 4, well, let me just read the verse. Galatians chapter 4, is that in the New Testament? It says in chapter 4 and verse 4, But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. And so when the time had come, the fulfillment of that time, that's when God did what he had promised to do. It's the birth of the Savior. It's like a timetable. It's like a birthday. And that's why we celebrate it the way we do. It's the manifestation of Almighty God. Take your Bibles and go to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And we'll read a few verses here. Let's begin in verse 8. Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. I'll wait till you get there. Luke chapter 2. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, and praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And so the shepherds got excited about this, and they went and they started telling everybody. You read a little bit later, and you have Simeon there, and he's excited about it. Anna's excited about it. We get excited about it. This is not just a holiday. This is the foundation of our faith. This is Almighty God becoming man. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And he appeared on this earth to mankind. He was manifest in the flesh. And so when we think about that, how can we understand it? We don't. We believe it by faith. Amen? But it's a basis for everything that we believe. In the Gospels, we have the story of his life, the Lord Jesus Christ, his life, his miracles, his preaching, his teaching, all that he did. all of the wonderful things, the prophecies being fulfilled, and the pictures of his sacrifice for our sins. And a lot of that is in the New Testament, but a lot of it is in the Old Testament. We go back to Exodus chapter 12, and that's where the Passover lamb was sacrificed, so that when the death angel came by and he saw the blood on the doorpost, he passed by. And we thank God for that. It's a familiar story. It was the 10th plague of God bringing on the land of Egypt so that the children of Israel could be set free. But they took the lamb and they put the blood there, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. We've made a song out of it. It's just a blessing. We have in Numbers chapter 21, the serpent of brass. And the children of Israel were murmuring against Moses and against God. And God sent fiery serpents and bit them. And the poison killed them. And they were worried about that. And so God told Moses to take a serpent of brass, put it on a pole and lift it up and tell everybody to look at it. Brass in the Bible speaks of judgment. A serpent speaks of sin or the devil. And put it up, and whoever looked at that would not die from the poison of the serpents. And you come to I think it's John chapter 3. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So the poison of the devil, the poison of this world, has no effect on us. Amen. We are saved by the grace of God. And you could go on. There's all kinds of stories. Passover lamb, serpent of brass, the great shepherd of the sheep. Acts chapter 8, where the Ethiopian eunuch was reading Isaiah chapter 53. And he didn't understand what he was reading. And so God sent a man to him. Now, this is important. God sent a servant to him, Philip, that he could explain what he was reading. Kind of like what's going on today. And so Philip said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He said, "How can I except some man should guide me?" And Philip started at the same scripture that he was reading, Isaiah 53, and showed him that it was Jesus Christ. And he got saved because of that. So here we are, and we're preaching the Word of God. We're singing the Word of God. We're trying to expose everybody to this wonderful gift. Whether you're saved or lost, it's a wonderful gift. Amen? And it's just something glorious. In John chapter, well, let me go back a minute. God told Moses to go and tell the nation of Israel that he was going to deliver them out of Egyptian bondage. And Moses said, "Who should I say sent me? What's your name?" And God said, "I am that I am. Tell them I am hath sent you." In the New Testament, our Savior was speaking with the Jews, and he said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." That's not proper English. It's proper theology. Before Abraham was, I am. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Jesus said that. I am the door. I am the bread of life. I am the water of life. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. All of those verses have a picture in the Bible. I am the door. By that door, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And so we look at that, the bread of life. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And Jesus Christ was the word that became flesh. And so all of the stories, but I want to get to my main message today because I'm excited about it. I am really excited to share this. Amen. And I hope you're excited to see it. Nicodemus was meeting with the Lord, and he was a very religious man. And all of a sudden, in the midst of their conversation, Jesus said to him, "You must be born again." It didn't follow the line of the conversation, but Jesus knew when to say it. "You must be born again." And Nicodemus said, "How can a man be born again the second time? Can he enter into his mother's womb?" And Jesus said, "That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. You must be born again." There's no spiritual life without being born again of the Spirit. And the Bible says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Amen. It's by the word of God that we're saved. And when you get saved, you have the Spirit within you. That's Romans chapter 8. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. The only way to have the new birth and a home in heaven is to accept Christ as your Savior. And that's why he came. That's why he was born. And that's why he lived the life he did and died the death that he did. The story of Jesus is absolutely amazing. His birth, that's what we're celebrating now, the Easter season. His death, Easter. Resurrection, amen. But his life was so valuable. It was a blessing, but it was difficult. In Isaiah 53 and verse 3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. He was the Creator. He was God in the flesh. And there are people today that use his name in vain. They don't give him the worship that he is due, amen, because he's worthy of our whole life, because he died for us. You have John chapter 1, verse 11. He came unto his own received him not. Pilate said, here's your king, and they said, we have no king but Caesar. Jesus said, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Isn't that amazing? He created everything. He's the Savior of all mankind, and there's no room for him. I think in Luke, where it talks about there was no room at the inn, there's still no room for him in many lives. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He became flesh so he could die in our place. He was the perfect sacrifice, the sinless Lamb of God that could be sacrificed and paid our debt, our sin debt. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the gospel is Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And so we believe that. So he came for a reason, amen? He came to die. He came to go to the cross. He came to pay the penalty for your sin. And if you're saved today, you're enjoying the benefits of that. Amen. And there is a love that he has created, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. We're born again of the Spirit. That's how that happens. And unto you that believe, he is precious. If he is not precious, you need to take a look at that, because this is a life-transforming and an eternity-transforming thing that happens. Merry Christmas today. Happy Easter. We can say Happy Easter anytime. You know, every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday, and we celebrated a certain date, but we celebrate his resurrection today, his birth, his death, and his resurrection. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us. Manifested, shown to us. God was manifest in the flesh. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. He said, because I live, ye shall live also. It's a great life, amen. God gives us abundant life now and eternal life for forever, and we're going to be with him. I mentioned Bob and seeing Bob and just remembering some of the things he's done for us. We'll see him one day. I think about my brother. I've got a brother in heaven. I've got a mom and dad in heaven. I've got some aunts in heaven. And I can't wait to see him. Amen? It's real. It's really going to happen. In Matthew chapter 21, turn over there. Matthew chapter 21. A couple weeks ago, I spoke on this text, but I want to go a little different direction today. Matthew chapter 21, the Lord is going to tell us a parable, and it's a picture of God, and it's a picture of the nation of Israel, and it's a picture of the prophets, and then ultimately a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. But let's begin reading in verse 33, Matthew chapter 21. The Bible says, hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. This is a picture of the Jews. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandmen took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. That is a picture of the prophets that the nation of Israel rejected and killed. Verse 36, again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. And that's a picture of the cross and Jesus dying for us because the nation rejected him. I know in the book of Samuel, God said to Samuel when the nation wanted a king, and it wasn't really what God wanted, and Samuel was depressed about it, and God told Samuel, they have not rejected you, they have rejected me. And by rejecting the prophets, the nation was rejecting God because God sent the prophets. Amen. And the Bible in this text says he sent servants. He sent servants. And there are many servants in the world that are trying to do the will of God that are not well received. They're trying to share the gospel and talk about the goodness of God and how to worship God and how to have eternity with God, and they are not received at all. He said his servants, the prophets. If you study the Bible, and I'm sure that you do, and this is probably old news, but when you go to the minor prophets, the major prophets, you have Isaiah, you have Jeremiah, Hosea, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. You have these different prophets. And the Bible teaches that the nation of Israel was in exile for 70 years. They were under the Babylonian rule and the Babylonian captivity. And those prophets, all the prophets in the Old Testament, are designed to be pre-exilic, pre-exile, before the exile, exilic, or post-exilic. And those that were pre-exilic, and we won't go into that, that's another study, preached how to respond to avoid judgment. The prophets that were exilic, they preached how to respond in the midst of judgment. And those that are post-exilic were sent so that they could teach the nation how to respond after the judgment. The nation did not receive these prophets. We just have that from this text. They killed some, they stoned some, but they did not hear the voice. And then when God sent his own son into the world, they said, we're going to crucify him. But that's what they did, and they don't have eternal life because of that. Last of all, he sent unto them his son. And here we are in church. Okay, here's the message. Long introduction, short message. Amen. There's chocolate out there, right? And not only that, there's cookies. Man, it's a tough thing to fight against. But anyway, here we are in church, celebrating Christmas, the birth of our Savior. Why are we here today? Where did we first hear this message that wanted to push us to come to church today? The news of salvation. Who did God use in your life? Think about it for a minute. Who was the servant, or who are the servants that God sent to your life? And some people reject those servants, but you have to look at who sent them. If it was God that sent them, then that's pretty weighty. Amen? And if God sent more, and he's merciful, he is so merciful, he sends more and more and more all the time. But who did God use in your life? My mother, we had a very rough upbringing. Don't like to talk about it. But she had enough sense to take my brother and I to church. She dropped us off. She didn't go with us. My dad was already gone. He left us when I was 8. But we went to church. And we heard those things. And we had a Sunday school teacher by the name of Mr. Grishel. And I remember he used a flannel graph. I don't know if you know what that is. And we loved it, and he gave us Kool-Aid and cookies. I think we went for the Kool-Aid and cookies. But he was a blessing. He was such a good, faithful man, good spirit, loved the children in his class. Amen? And he was a servant of the Lord in my life. I had a grandmother who prayed for me and gave me this Bible when I was 12 years old. And she gave it to me. I was confirmed in the Lutheran church. I didn't know God. I just knew some answers to some questions. I had some religion, but not much of it, because as soon as I got old enough, I just left any religion. But anyway, she gave me this Bible. And in the flyleaf of the Bible, well, let me say this first. My brother and I used to go to my grandmother's house every Sunday afternoon. And my aunts lived there too. And my two aunts would walk up the street this way to go to the Lutheran church. But my grandmother would walk the other way. And there was a church on that corner. And it was an old-fashioned Methodist church, Ida. And they preached the Bible. And she went where they really preached the Bible. And I'm not comparing religions. I'm just telling you what it was in my past. And maybe that's why I like to preach the Bible so much. But she wrote in the flyleaf of this Bible something very precious. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. It's in Isaiah 55. Meant nothing to me when I was 12 years old. I've kept the Bible all these years. It's kind of fallen apart. Not because I've read it a lot. But anyway, it's still fallen apart. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. That's a blessing to me. She was one of the servants that had an effect on my life. Another one was my pastor, Pastor Glenn Stockton. He passed away last year and he's with the Lord now. Such a faithful preacher. Such a faithful man of God. And had a real effect on my life. I got saved under his preaching. But I want to say today that my wife was the greatest servant that God used in my life to get me to Christ. How she put up with me. How she would go to church when I wouldn't. It was funny to me. I didn't want anything to do with religion. We lived kind of wild life, but she was so faithful. The kids love her in Sunday school. Amen. She has been so faithful. I've been in the ministry about 45 years now, and she's been right there. And missions work, but she was the impetus. She was the beginning of that faith in my life. And I remember going to church, hearing the gospel, coming home, didn't get saved, just got mad at her. And the reason I got mad at her is because she told the preacher everything about me. And his sermon was all about me. And I was mad. And I wouldn't go back to church for 2 months. You say, we've heard this story before. Yeah, I'm the pastor. And here's the story. And I didn't go to church for 2 months. But when I went back, God used another servant, Manuel Guzman. He took a Bible and he showed me how to be saved. Still wasn't saved. The next Saturday, all by myself in my living room, I bowed my head and accepted Christ as my Savior. What a blessing. There's other servants that have made me a servant. I remember I worked at General Motors. It's a pretty rough job, but I had a lot of seniority, and I got to do a lot of things there that I shouldn't have done. We got into drugs. We bought and sold drugs while we were at work, just a corrupt life. But there was a fella, and his name was Lloyd. That's the only thing I remember about him. His name was Lloyd, and just a small stature man, witnessing all the time. And we made fun of him. We mocked him. And I don't know if that affected me. I don't know where it all came together. Do you know what I'm saying? There's influences all in our life, and everyone is important. And there's a timetable in our life. God knows when we're going to get saved. He doesn't make us get saved, but he knows when we're going to get saved. And he's using all of these means to speak to us. And isn't that a wonderful thing? That God is so invested and interested in you that he's using all of these things in providence so you can trust him as your Savior. And there's a wonderful thing about this. Now, I went from motorcycles and drugs to a pulpit. Amen? And my wife was a great part of that. Tomorrow we will be married 52 years. Isn't that amazing? She deserves a medal. Amen. Amen. Candy, you're not supposed to agree that much. Okay. She does that. Just think about it. Just think about what God has done and what he is going to do. I had a cousin, Blake, and both of our fathers left about the same time and deserted the home. And we used to get together. We went to the same church, but we both wanted to be pastors. And this is 10 years old. We both wanted to be pastors. He became a pastor and I became pastor. Think of that. And I know he prayed for me and I prayed for him. Anyway, that's enough of that. But all of these servants in my life I'm so thankful for them. But they made me a servant. And what is that? What is God doing here today? Think, who was involved in your salvation? Think who told you about Jesus Christ. Somewhere, there's the day of salvation. There's a day that you got saved. You don't morph into being a Christian. You're not born. They go astray as soon as they be born speaking lies. People need to be saved. Amen? The only way to be saved is to be born again, to accept Christ as your Savior. When did you do that? Who influenced you to do that? What servant was there that brought you the message? And did they bring you the message and maybe you're not saved today because you didn't heed the message? And we'll go on. Isaiah 50 and verse 10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. What a blessing. Can you see our Lord Jesus Christ in the manger? I am God's servant. I am a minister of the gospel to say exactly that. Can you see the babe in the manger? Do you believe the story of God becoming flesh? Do you believe in how the baby was conceived by the Holy Spirit? All of these truths I bring before you today. It's like Candy sang the song, Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? The child that you delivered will soon deliver you. That is powerful, isn't it? In the book of Corinthians, when Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, he said, had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Had they known. But they did crucify him because they didn't know him. And I want to read a verse there that I think will be a blessing. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Here it is. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man doesn't get it. This is Christmas. We're celebrating Christmas. The natural man doesn't get it. Only the spiritual person does. It is an important thing and such a blessing to do this. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 19, Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart by faith. I mean, can you imagine what she was told? Can you imagine what she experienced? And she just had to believe it by faith. And she did, and what a blessing. That's a whole other sermon too. Do you see him in the manger? But do you see him on the cross? Because that was the ultimate end. He came to die. He came to give his life a ransom for many. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. This is so tragic. Remember, there were two thieves on the cross, one on either side of the Lord. One said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom, but the other was mocking. Amen. And when you come to the end of life, some people just are not going to receive the Lord. Isn't that tragic? It's because you have to have a mind and heart and a will to surrender to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what saves people. That's what changes their life for good. And the thief on the cross did that. Dying in your place, paying your debt of sin. The lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. The Passover lamb that died for us. The servants that have come to your life, how have you treated them? God's sending servants to you your way all the time. Amen? Maybe it's somebody you work with. Maybe it's somebody in your neighborhood. Maybe it's somebody in your family. And maybe you're the servant. Maybe God is going to use you to reach your neighbor, the person you work with, or somebody in your family. But that's how God works. Amen? And one day, yes, he was born and he died, but he rose again. And he said, where I am, there ye may be also. He said, because I live, you shall live also. And so we're just going to enjoy all of those benefits and blessings for all eternity. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Christmas. It's the gift. Amen? The gift that was on the tree. Who was in your life that brought you to Christ? Amen. I can say I told you some in my life. But here's another one for you. I'm your servant. I'm a servant of God that sent me this way to tell you about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you've never received Jesus, boy, it'll change your life. And if you have received Jesus, be a servant for him. He's going to put you with people and in places that he can use only you to give that gospel message out. What a blessing. Amen. Let's bow our heads, please. There's never going to be an end to the existence of God, and there is never going to be an end for the Christian. He will live with God for all eternity. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to save you, you can't think of the day you got saved. Boy, it'd be wonderful to trust Christ today. If you're here today and you've been saved, there's a reason for that. God sent a servant your way so that you could be saved and you could become a servant. And you could show somebody else how to be saved. Please don't let that thought pass by. Christ came into the world to save sinners. He saved you. Now he wants to use you. And you're the only person he can use like he wants to. Father, bless your word now. Please use each one of us, please, to share the glory of God with other people. Love you, Lord. Thank you for coming. Thank you for dying. We'll celebrate the Lord's Supper tonight. And I pray that you'll be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.